Dear friends, I asked the doctor this week how to know if I was healing from a concussion. She told me, pay attention to your head, what it tells you. Sounded like good advice, and I rested for most of this week. But how do you pay attention to your head? It's not like you can see where your hair is messy, if you have some. It's not like the shingles on the roof of a house when you can see they are wearing down. My brothers often tease me by saying an empty barn don't need a roof. Well, this week, I told people my head felt like an empty coconut. My son said, more than usual, Dad? But the truth is, head injuries are serious. But you can't always tell what's going on up there. Pay attention to what your head tells you, my dad or my doctor said. It's a little bit like paying attention to the spirit. How do you know? In the children's time, you already got to eavesdrop on how the Holy Spirit is described in the Bible with the same word that we use for wind. Some of you might have been thinking then, who has seen the wind? Who has seen the Holy Spirit? Truth is, we really can't. But I want to suggest this morning that from what the Bible does tell us, God invites us to feel, to follow, and live a full life in the Holy Spirit, to pay attention to the Spirit of God. Feeling. When it comes to feeling or experiencing the Holy Spirit, it's probably true. There are extremes. You maybe heard about people making animal noises during a spiritual experience. Maybe someone has told you the Holy Spirit helped them to find their keys after they forgot where they had put them and they prayed. Suppose that could happen. But there really are some strange stories about how people apparently experience the Holy Spirit. And truth is, there probably are extremes on both ends when it comes to experiences or feelings of the Holy Spirit. In a book I read recently, the author suggests that people can swing from either expecting the Holy Spirit where he has not even promised to be, or we are not expecting him at all. Where do you think Presbyterians land? Where do you land? Do we expect to experience the Holy Spirit in too many places? Or would we benefit from seeking the Holy Spirit a bit more? The truth is, the Spirit's presence is kind of like the air from those tiny or large fans. At times, it can be a whisper in your ear, your heart, because that's just what we need in our life. At other times, it can be like some big, loud, rushing wind. Which gets us to following. Because paying attention to God's Holy Spirit isn't only about experiencing it. Paying attention to anything isn't just about feelings. If I only paid attention to how my head feels with my concussion, that wouldn't be too helpful, especially if my head was telling me that it was sore and it needed rest. The important thing to do would be to listen. To follow Just like making sure I'd get rest to follow what my head says about a concussion, so it's important to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. Do you ever have that feeling that God's Holy Spirit is leading you somewhere to do something, to talk to someone? Maybe we don't always call this the Holy Spirit, but perhaps you know what I mean. A sequence of events in your life that make you really wonder about something very significant going on. It just couldn't have lined up any other way than God orchestrating it. A situation that happens in such an uncanny way, you can't explain it. But everything seems to line up in just such a way and calls your attention to do something. The timing of certain people speaking into your life about that very issue that you are struggling with. What do you do about that? What do you call these things? Sometimes people call that coincidences. Some people call them God incidences. Those times when you just know you better be paying attention, because something, somewhere, somehow, someone, some God is pointing you in a direction where you know you need to go and to do something. You need to follow. A few current examples. Last fall, I'm convinced it was the Holy Spirit that moved so many people across Canada and around the world to begin taking seriously the need to sponsor refugees from Syria. And yes, the tragedy from a little boy named Alan Kurdi was what triggered this. But I believe the Holy Spirit of God took up this tragedy in the middle of other events to cause a rush of compassion. Not just from church people, but from people across our nation, including political leaders. And yes, the Holy Spirit works through them. Just recently, the Fort McMurray fires, also a terrible event, stirred so much empathy and support across the people of that city, the province of Alberta, and around Canada. And these are serious examples, but they demonstrate how God's Spirit is alive and shakes people out of routines, even beyond regularly disputed people, to make a positive difference in our troubled world. And oh, it's so tempting to, in the middle even of tragedies, to start pointing fingers, but God's Spirit works when we begin to look beyond our differences and to make a difference in this world. These are ways the Holy Spirit, even today, brings people together whom otherwise wouldn't understand or appreciate or care for one another. It's what we do when we follow not our regular patterns and routines, but the wind rushing into our lives from the Holy Spirit. A personal example, and I think I may have told a few of you about this. I don't think I've mentioned it from the pulpit. But when I first responded to the open minister position at Knox back in the late summer, fall of 2014, I didn't hear anything back for a while. And I thought, oh, well, God has something else in mind for me, for them. Then one morning when I was in my office at my part-time job at the time at a St. Catherine's church, the office assistant, who didn't know about my inquiry to Knox or other places, says, Jim, you should check the news on the internet. There's something bad happening in Ottawa. And sure enough, I checked. And there are reports of a shooting at the War Memorial in the Parliament buildings. And then just as I'm checking, watching this, my email program makes that familiar sound of a delivery of a note, And when I opened that email, it's from a Presbyterian church in Ottawa, thanking me for my interest and inviting me to an interview. That day, I replied favorably, and I did ask, "Don't you have other things to worry about today?" But I'll never forget that day. It was one of those surreal events, making a very vivid connection for me between my possible future and this city and this church. And I often look back and wonder how the Holy Spirit was calling me to follow that day. Some people have actually told me maybe it was a sign to stay away from that place. But you see, there were other events too, all around the whole calling process, where it seemed to me the Holy Spirit was whispering, was nudging, and at times speaking very loudly about how I needed to follow and obey. Have you ever had that? That's how the Holy Spirit works and calls us to follow. But keep in mind, if there's a Holy Spirit, there are also, oh yeah, evil ones. People wonder, and I think rightly, how should I follow any mystical or spiritual urge? Jesus himself says, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. So it seems to me the answer is that we should be careful about which spirit we're following. The Holy Spirit calls us to follow in order to bring harmony and unity in this world, just as the Spirit did that first Pentecost Sunday, bringing people from around the known world at that time to understand one another in ways that they could not before. The Holy Spirit always points us toward Jesus and to follow in his footprints. If you sense something spiritual going on, check where it's leading you. It can lead to a full life. God wants us to live lives to the fullest, and Jesus points us to an abundant life. So it follows, and it shows from the readings we heard today, the Holy Spirit wants to fill us with goodness. One of the problems in our world today is there's so much for us to keep busy with, we don't always make room for God's Spirit, for it to blow fresh wind into our lives. We can be satisfied even with where we're at, even though we know that we aren't really happy with our station in life. It can happen even in churches, where we do things not because we're feeling or following the Holy Spirit, but simply because, well, that's the way we've always done it. The truth is, the Spirit is often way ahead of the church. Did you hear that? What did the minister just say? The Spirit is often way ahead of the church. There's a tendency within modern Christianity to kind of box the Spirit into only the life of the church. But the truth is, in order to experience the fullness of God's Spirit, the church is usually having to play catch up, because the Spirit is way ahead of us, as it should be. I mean, the Holy Spirit is God. The disciples weren't expecting to speak in different languages on that day of Pentecost. It blew them away. The apostles Peter and Paul could not have imagined all of the places where the Holy Spirit would lead them, often going ahead of them. The medieval church could not have predicted the winds of change brought on when what they later called the Protestant Reformation. A few years ago, I would never have imagined being a minister in a Presbyterian church. A few years ago, Knox would never have imagined employing a church staff consisting of a French Roman Catholic musician, a Russian Pentecostal office assistant, a Dutch Christian Reformed minister to accompany their Methodist custodian. That kind of caught up on you quickly, didn't it? But as I mentioned, the Spirit is way ahead of any church and calling us to feel and follow the Spirit's presence in order to lead us to a fuller life, both within the church and in every part of our lives. You see, not only in this sanctuary, but after you leave this space, pay attention to how God's Spirit might be blowing fresh wind your way. Pay attention and follow in the middle of the sometimes confusing spirits of our times. Follow the lead of God's Holy Spirit, which does bring harmony, which leads into truth, and always points us back to Jesus and God's Word. Pay attention and be filled with God's Holy Spirit, both within the church and far beyond. Pay attention, and you'll find God's Spirit alive and well in this world. Amen. Breathe on me. Breath of God is our song of response. Number 389.